Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'll tell you where I'm going.
New Hampshire, New Hampshire. That's where I'm going, and I'm going to get those voters in New Hampshire.
Me and Joe are having a conversation. Who did it better, Trump as Green Acres or Bloomberg as Mary Poppins?
All right, well, Joe's working up for tomorrow, I hope, something in preparation since Bloomberg is in such preparation for this debate tomorrow night. I'm with his advisors, several or people that are political advisors saying, why is he doing this? Evade, 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 all this stuff. Sure, people will say he's afraid, doesn't want to get in the ring with them. But he's just blitzing America and Facebook, $1 million a day in Facebook ads. It is truly incredible. Well, he's doing it because he thinks he can handle himself with these people. I will be shocked tomorrow night at the debate watch party as we watch this, if he's able to handle what he's going to get tomorrow night, because remember, he's running as a Democrat. And a lot of these things do not pass muster with Democrats. I don't see in what universe they do. And Bernie Sanders is rolling now. Is certainly going to push back on this. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You push pound 1210. The other thing that's rising out there, and this is amazing, people are afraid now, both Bloomberg and Biden and Elizabeth Warren now, all calling out today Bernie Sanders, Bernie Bros, the people that support Sanders, that they're physically intimidating. There's a woman here in Philadelphia, Lindy Lai, claiming to be, she's a Pennsylvania young Democrat, claiming to be a victim of Bernie Bro bullying. She's resigned from the Young Democrats. She supports Joe Biden, convention delegate for Biden, former congressional candidate. She says this is like Bernie Bro behavior in real life, citing aggressive Sanders supporters, especially in social media, that have prompted complaints and concerns among Democrats for their caustic attacks on those who criticize the Vermont senator online. The young Democrats say they've been looking into this whole thing, and they don't seem to think the Bernie Bros are out of line. But right here in Philadelphia, you're seeing this back and forth. So you are going to see tomorrow night, in addition to Bloomberg under fire, you're going to see any number of these people. Mayor Pete will probably do it. Elizabeth Warren might. Calling upon Bernie Sanders to renounce these Bernie Bros, to renounce some of his supporters, to renounce those that are going wild. Well, these are the same type of guys, maybe even more marshmallowy than the Antifa squad that are backing Bernie. And they are threatening people. They're doing all kinds of things. So watch for Bernie Sanders to have to repudiate them. I don't think he will. I think he's gearing up to deflect that. But that's exactly the type of thing that's going on. All show long, too, we've been talking about the Boy Scouts. We've been talking about the death of the Boy Scouts. Now, they're still going to be in bankruptcy and come out of this. I know all that. But we're talking about the fact, how could, yes, if we were eulogizing, I love this song. It just, God. It's beyond, I do.
More than the Tarantella?
More than the Tarantella.
Are you crying?
Yes, I am. I hear this song, and I sing it. I could see me holding hands with Joe and Dan.
Look, I get this song, but you did the same thing when you played the Tarantella. You teared up.
There's certain songs. I'm an emotional guy. That's why we do this. It's inside the mind of Dom.
Don't even get him started on the chicken dance.
No, there's a chicken dance. Neil Diamond, though, would set me off coming to America. But we're burying the Scouts today, or they buried themselves, their leadership.
Well, please don't word it that way.
Well, it is. I mean, how is it that this American icon, and I'm glad that people responded, but they only responded because Dan mentioned being in the Indian Guide group. His dad put him in that. And we had calls from Indian chiefs, and the girls' side was called Indian Matings. Yeah, Big Buffalo called. But people are not, wow, Dom, you know, I couldn't wait to talk right at the beginning of the show today. The death of the Scouts, essentially, because they capitulated despite all the support of traditional America. They capitulated to all these forces that told them, like enforcers, hey, got a pretty nice Boy Scouts here. Hate to see it go up in flames. You know what I'm talking? It's like Frank Nitti in The Untouchables, you know, the movie version. Hate to see something happen here. It's a great little place you got. Don't know if somebody threw a bomb in here, you know, I wouldn't like to see that. So they capitulated, one thing after another, including bringing in girls from the Girl Scouts, all into this PC thing, we got to survive. And then today, it comes out filing for bankruptcy because of the crush of what they were not doing, which appears to be protecting American kids. Now, no one has called in today, Dan, and said, wait a minute, this is just an all-out assault on American traditionalism, the Boy Scouts. That's why you're seeing so many of these cases of these sexual abuse claims. I mean, there are tens of thousands of them, apparently. There's an unbelievable number. That's why they're filing for bankruptcy. No, people have long given up being out there defending the Boy Scouts simply because of what I've just stated. They've gone to alternatives to the Scouts that we're still trying to keep traditional American values and keep it going. That's where we are. Oh, man, I just saw Bloomberg standing. He's in Tennessee, and this is a bad picture. I'm surprised his handlers. There's a guy there, a local politician, who's about 6'4", I would say, standing next to Bloomberg. And, you know, I have not gotten, Dan, people kind of like this. I haven't gotten people saying you're petty on this. If you were standing, we ever have the chance to have you stand next to Michael Bloomberg. So I'm telling you, on stage, I've told you this before, when we used to do those talk radio debates, I won't say who, but there were people in the pre-meetings that said, no, I don't want to stand next to Dom. And I'm thinking, come on. You know, if I were 6'8 like you, I could understand.
Look, let's just say you were ahead of the curve when it came to height stuff.
Yes, exactly right. But this guy standing next to even Bernie and Joe Biden.
He's standing next to an 11-year-old girl, and she's almost
as
tall
as him. Yeah, exactly. And he's standing on a little lift. And now he's standing next to a guy who looks to be about 6'1 to me. And my God, it's gigantic.
You think he gets his suits at Baby Gap?
I was reading about the Brooklyn tailor, their $5,000 suits. He ought to get a better tailor, I think, here, too.
Is it a children's tailor?
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see if he uses the lift. I think some of these Democrats have, but if somebody points that out tomorrow night, it's going to be hilarious. And how many inches does he use on the lift? He says he's 5'10", so the lift should only be an inch or two to get to 6 foot. But I think they're going to need a giant. I could see to the stage right now. They've got a team of union carpenters building that thing.
You think there'll be fog effects as the lift raises?
Yes.
And they announce his name.
Suppose the lift doesn't work. Right. Suppose the lift goes down. Suppose it gets stuck in between floors there, you know, as can happen. I think Bernie might point out, you know, when it comes to being authentic and credibility, I'm not standing on any lift here.
You got it.
Okay. So, it will be spectacular to see what this guy does. I think he's overconfident. I think that he believes he can go in there. America's going to see this and they're going to go, wow, this is the guy that can beat Trump. I don't even think he can beat Bernie Sanders if there's enough debates. And the others are desperate. So I think they're going to come at him too. Is he going to be, will Mayor Pete come at him even. Klobuchar will. Yeah. This is going to be one of the best debate nights ever.
Klobuchar is going to marvel at his height.
Yes, exactly. She told us yesterday, if you missed it yesterday, we played you a cut of Klobuchar saying, well, she's as tall as Thomas Jefferson. She meant Madison. Jefferson was apparently 6'2". Madison was very short. Now, usually the taller person in the race wins, by and large, in presidential races. That's usually what happens. But, you know, it's not a hard and fast rule. I could just see the debate negotiations for Trump-Bloomberg about standing on the stage if there are three debates. And you know the walk-around debate, which is usually the second debate now where they don't stand behind anything. Picture Trump walking behind Bloomberg. What that's going to look like.
I just remember when he kind of like hovered behind Hillary on campus?
Yes. Hillary, yes. Hillary this time wouldn't allow that. She's taking a shot right at him. She's turned around and saying, get out of my space, you blank, blank, to see what America would do. All righty, 855-839-1210, you can get on board. All right, one other quick thing. Remember when President Trump was criticized for this? And I supported Trump. Now, a guy who is a big critic of President Trump is experiencing the same thing. The motorcycle gang guy. Have you ever seen this guy, the Lieutenant Governor Fetterman? He dresses like a motorcycle gang guy. And he is a big guy. He's like 6'8", 300 pounds, 6'10". Anyhow, he is blocking people on his official Twitter site. Now, this is a site connected with state government, as I believe it is. He puts up a picture of his wife, who's a very attractive woman, I think, in a carnival outfit, which is skimpy, decolletage, the whole thing, you know, going on. And some people are critical of her in that outfit, doesn't think that she looks that good. So these two men then were blocked from his site. Now, remember when people said that President Trump shouldn't be able to block people because these are citizens firing back at him. No, I support the right of Trump to block people on Twitter. And I support the right of Fetterman to do it. But progressives don't seem to get it when they're trying to force Trump to have to deal with this on Twitter. These guys have a big-time lawyer who's suing now, saying they can be critical of the guy's wife. Look, what kind of jerk is going to go on Twitter and mock a guy's wife? You know, the least that should happen to you is to be blocked on Twitter. Probably a whole lot more should happen. Maybe she shouldn't have posed in this carnival outfit that's skimpy and a breast, the whole thing and all. But guys mocking this in the way they are. No, I don't think they have a place there. I'd block them too. I think you have the right to do that. Just like I think President Trump has a right to block these people that are saying vile stuff on Twitter.
I can vouch that you will indeed block them.
Yes, exactly right. Yes. Yeah, we're not having that stuff on that. It's Domtown. And it's not just with me. If you say stuff that's out of line that I think is just crude, et cetera, I'm going to block you and get rid of you. Yeah. You just don't have an untrammeled right. Twitter is not the old West. And I despise the policies of Fetterman, but he's right. He's not going to come after his wife and he's going to go back and forth on this type of stuff. Advice to him, maybe she shouldn't dress like that and be on your Twitter site, but if that's what you want to do, I'm supportive of you.
I don't agree with you.
Why?
I don't think blocks should be utilized on Twitter unless somebody is harassing you in the way that they're commenting on your post, on all your posts negatively. That's the only time I'll block somebody on Twitter is if they're almost Twitter stalking you.
Well,
but if they say a mean comment, there's a level of anonymity. Can't say the word.
Yes.
You know where I'm going with it. That Twitter offers that I think people take advantage of and speak freely. And I don't think...
The line is crossed. I'd say the same thing with Maisie. If you wouldn't block him, I'm taking over and blocking him. You don't say that stuff. I mean, you don't do that with a guy's wife. You just don't. Anybody that does that with a guy's wife would be punched in the face. Twitter's the least of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of bounds. Now, he did put her up in his carnival suit. I get it. You know, but you cannot... You cannot go after a guy's wife. You just can't.
I hate to blame the victim, but I think he's just as much as at fault for this. He's in a highly volatile political environment. He posts a picture, a risque picture of his wife, What does he expect is going to happen? People are going to fawn and say how hot she is? Like, what's the point of putting on Twitter in the first place?
Well, he shouldn't have. I'm in agreement with that. And he's a guy that's critical of Trump. That's why I'm really against him. But as a general principle, I don't think you have an untrammeled right to Twitter for Trump's account or Fetterman's account or anybody's account just because it's a public account. And I think that's going through the courts or still going through the courts with Trump. You don't have a right to go on there and just spew stuff around the clock. You know, I kind of like it when blocking gets in vogue here with these public figures because we're trying to set a line. Certain things are out of bounds. One of the biggest things that's out of bounds to me is going after a guy's wife. Now, Mrs. Clinton, because of her political involvement, that's different. You know, she has been, if they're in the ring that way on her own, that's different. She's a not the guy's wife. She's a, well, when Don Imus mocked her in very crude terms in front of Bill Clinton, yeah, Clinton could have popped them there. I've been fine with that. There's a limit to this.
No, I agree with you. There's a line that shouldn't be crossed. You shouldn't unprompted go after someone's wife or children or husband.
Right.
But again, I got to go back to the guy. My theory is that he posted this knowing he was going to get the kind of reaction he got. And he just wanted to enter into the victim Olympics in somehow or another.
Hmm. That's an interesting. Or he thought they're all going to say she's hot and all.
And that's
she
why
is.
I don't buy. Like, if you post a picture of your wife in risque stuff and you're a public figure,
right?
Then sure, you're inviting it.
But you still have a right to block it, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everyone has a right to do whatever they want. But from my personal standpoint, I just can't buy into censoring anybody because they offended me in any way.
All right. I think you have to, if you're a public figure, you have to take a certain amount of offense. That part I agree with. But the line gets crossed pretty quickly here, you know. So he shouldn't have done it, but you got to let the guy's wife alone. Just saw another Bloomberg assault that dropped. By the way, the Virginia lawmakers rejected this so-called assault weapons ban yesterday. And that was a bit of an upset given the election cycle, given the mushmouth governor, given all that happened in Virginia, that there was a victory there where they did not have the votes. They did not win. They thought it was in the bag, and it didn't happen in Virginia. Virginia is going to be a big battleground state, first on the Democrat side, then in the general election. It's a battleground state between Bernie and Bloomberg at this point. And then, of course, in the general election, leans Democrat due to all those suburbs that are near the line, the northern part of Virginia with Washington. But it's potentially doable. At least that's where we are right now. All right. I saw this yesterday on President's Day. We didn't have a chance to get to it. And this demands to hear from veterans on this. So the Inquirer finds this guy. And look, I support his service. He has served several tours at the Pentagon, NATO headquarters, U.S. Embassy. He has several military decorations. He's in the Air Force. Headline, though, retired colonel. Thank you for your service movement weaponizes patriotism. Okay? And this guy's beef, this military guy, we've seen this once before, but the guy went even a bit further. Thank you for your service. TYFYS culture is going to backfire on the military and society. There are many reasons people decide to serve in uniform or not, but most public service understand that service is its own reward and a privilege. The TYFYS culture specific emphasis on military service fosters an environment where service members can develop a sense of entitlement, helped by a well-intentioned but overly appreciative public. He goes on to say service members, now here's the line that got me that I thought really jumped out. Service to our nation is a privilege, and the military is just one of the many ways to serve. Military service is no more valuable than other forms of service. Really? Our cops, firemen, teachers, career civil servants, and elected leaders all deserve our gratitude and appreciation. Let's go through that. All right? this guy is in the military, but he's being useful here to those on the left, saying that why do we give this added adulation to those in the military? Now, let's go through the categories he mentions. Elected leaders? Yeah, politicians. We certainly are going to give people in the military much more benefit than that, are we not, by and large, for obvious reasons? Career civil servants. You mean the administrative state? You mean the planners? You mean the bureaucrats? Yeah, I think the military are the people that we're going to support and lionize over that. Teachers. Yeah, not an easy job for people that are really doing it. But the military, yeah, we are going to do that. Firemen, same thing. Yeah, military, tougher. And cops. Now, you know my feeling toward police officers, second to none. But if you're forcing me in this manner to say why the military gets this sort of approach, it should be obvious to you, as much as we ought to recognize and lionize cops, and you know we do that at every turn. It's still the military, and it's not because we're being phonies or we're doing this to weaponize them or anything else. It's because we realize the sacrifice that's involved. Now, in places like Philadelphia, you could argue that the sacrifice of a cop is along the same lines as the sacrifice of the military, given Larry Krasner, given criminals, given what Philadelphia's all about. You could make that argument. I still would tell you it comes down to the military, and that's why there is such a sense of appreciation and support. No, instead, they use this guy, this colonel, to make the point that somehow or another, we've weaponized this. We're using the military to make a political point. No, it's that the other side really has trouble. We know that they can't recognize cops, and they're a little bit afraid that they have to recognize the military, but not so much. The others, oh yeah, they lionize teachers. That's their base. The firefighters union, things like that, they lionize that because it's a union thing. Elected officials, the bureaucrats, they love the bureaucrats. That's their base. Federal employment union, that's their base. Okay, AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210, 855-839-1210 will get you on board. So two big stories today, Bloomberg and what it's going to be like tomorrow night. Now, here's something a little bit new. This will be cut 10, Dan. Bloomberg, this is the spring of 2018, meeting of the International Monetary Fund. This guy speaks at more of these insider, politically correct controllers or attempted controllers of the world economy than anybody. And here's Bloomberg bringing up the question of the poor and why the poor should be taxed too, even though it's regressive, because they don't know what they're doing. And if you don't tax them, they're going to buy things that are not good for them. Yeah. Here's the Mary Poppins of control again. Here's Bloomberg.
Some people say, well, taxes are regressive, but in this case, yes, they are. That's the good thing about them, because the problem is in people that don't have a lot of money. And so higher taxes should have a bigger impact on their behavior and how they deal with themselves. So I listen to people saying, oh, we don't want to tax the poor. Well, we want the poor to live longer so that they can get an education and enjoy life. And that's why you do want to do exactly what a lot of people say you don't want to do. The question is, do you want to pander to those people, or do you want to get them to live longer? And there's just no question. If you raise taxes on full sugary drinks, for example, they will drink less. And there's just no question that full sugar drinks are one of the major contributors to obesity, and obesity is one of the major contributors to heart disease and cancer and a variety of other things. So it's like saying, I don't want to stop using coal because coal miners will go out of work. Well, will lose their jobs. We have a lot of soldiers in the United States, in the U.S. Army, but we don't want to go start a war just to give them something to do. And that's exactly what you're saying when you say, well, let's keep coal killing people because we don't want coal miners to lose their jobs. The truth of the matter is there aren't very many coal miners left anyways, and we can find other things for them to do. But the comparison is a life or a job, or taxes or life. Which do you want to do? Take your poison.
I commend this man. He's consistent. One of the few Democrats that consistent. This sawed-off, yes, I'm using sawed-off here again, little authoritarian, is consistent. He's going to control all of us, tell us what to do. Look at your cereal in the morning. You know, have a drone fly over. Put down that sugar. Put down that sugary drink at lunchtime, whatever it might be. He's consistent. You got to admire this, how blatant this guy is. Other Democrats, even Bernie Sanders against the soda tax because of how regressive it is. Not this guy. We're going to tax these people because I say it, and then they'll have a better life. They won't have these things if they don't have a soda. Well, what about the fact that A, it's America, it should be their choice, and B, this is one of their pleasures, one of the few things they may be able to afford that's a pleasure. Nope. I mean, I wonder if he would talk to his Chinese buddies about saying, well, maybe they shouldn't have more than one kid. Maybe it gets to that point. Anything's possible. I admire how arrogant and consistent this guy is, and I hope that tomorrow night, Democrats, and I think that they will, are able to bring this out. They have enough time to let America see what this guy wants to do. And if they think Trump is worse than that, majority of people in the Electoral College and all that, then it's going to be very interesting to see a different America. Okay, Dom Giordano's show got a lot more. Politico, big piece. Mike Bloomberg's preparation for the debate tomorrow night. I'm telling you, if there's one debate to watch, it would be this, other than the big presidential debates when we get to that. This is the one to watch simply because the others are desperate. Bernie's riding high, and Bloomberg, I think, thinks he can handle anything because he's used to buying it. You know, could you see him in the middle of the debate, Dan, walking over to somebody and putting like a big vanilla envelope of money, sticking it in their pocket? Now, shut up, Mayor Pete. Here's $1 million. You know, all right, does it take 2 million? Let me just talk here. I don't want to be challenged. How much for all of you to go away? That's what you ought to say and think. All right, all of you right now. I want to be president. I can buy it. I'm the one beating Trump. How much will it take for you to quit individually? I'm prepared to write you a check. And they bring a big sandwich board out. Joe Biden, give me $5 million. I'll go off into retirement.
What do you think the actual amount would be?
For them to quit?
Yeah.
I don't think Bernie would quit.
But
no matter what you paid him.
Say Biden or Klobuchar.
I think Biden for a few million behind the scenes would quit.
No,
now
I think
point.
It's like 100.
You think 100 million?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
you
got to think that all the fundraising dollars are going to become moot. Any potential endorsements
right.
might become moot. So you got to get, you know, pretty much what you would make the rest of your lifetime, right?
He's so much on the ropes now, though, that I think it wouldn't take as much for that. Would Elizabeth Warren quit? Yeah, she probably would at this point. Klobuchar, I don't think she would quit. She still thinks she's going to be VP.
I don't know. If I'm maybe Klobuchar and I'm offered $100 million to drop out,
yeah,
I'm taking it.
Well, that's what he ought to come on. He ought to have like, it ought to be like a reality show. Brink's truck pulls up on stage. They empty the money bags at. He's got them stacked here and the clock starts ticking. I thought we were having CNN. I thought we were having a debate tonight. We are. Are these people willing to drop out and let me be president? Yes or no?
I could see something like $10 million in a cabinet position. Being a
Or VP position for one of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. The winner. They do some stunts here. Bernie won't do that, though. As much as he likes having three houses and all, I don't think he would do it. I don't think there's any amount of money, $1 billion, whatever, it doesn't matter to him. I don't think he would. I think that's authentic. The others, I think you're right. Yeah, it could take a whole lot less. This is a very upbeat Tarantella.
I don't know Italian, so hopefully there's no curse words going on right now.
Yes. I don't know if it's as moving to me as Amazing Grace is. That just gets me every time.
Oh, you just wiped a tear, though.
Oh, yeah. Something came into my eye.
These are tears of joy.
Joy for the Tarantella. That's exactly right. And particularly this version of it is particularly upbeat. It's the Italian there, too. I saw Godfather 2 last night as they're trying to get the band, which is kind of a very white bread band, to play some Italian stuff. Not happening. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. Just push pound 1210 here with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. So the ladies on The View, Sunny Hostin, making the point when they had Stacey Abrams on yesterday, that, boy, Bloomberg and she, that is a winning ticket. They'll win the presidency with that. Boy, I hope he feels, whoever the nominee is, that they have to take her, the woman from Georgia. Because the baggage and the radicalism that will come out will be probably even bigger, other than Bernie Sanders, than the candidate itself. I know that's what people are thinking. They got to pick a black woman to be the VP choice. We'll see about that. And this woman has not relented in saying wild stuff ever since the Senate race there in Georgia. We'll see if that's the ideal candidate. You know, the first thing with the vice president, do no harm. But they feel they're being backed in, all these white guys and others that they are. Here's what Sunny Hostin on The View said about this idea of Stacey Abrams as the VP with Bloomberg.
Be vetted. Yeah, whether or not you're a Republican or a Democrat. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think mm-hmm. it took too long for the grab them by the you-know-what videotape yeah. came out. So, you know, I do think everyone should be vetted. But this weekend, someone sent me this video of Mayor Bloomberg when he was announcing actually an initiative for black and brown men, and I think it was several million dollar initiative. I think we have that clip.
There's this enormous cohort of black and Latino males aged, let's say, 16 to 25 that don't have jobs, don't have any prospects, don't know how to find jobs, don't know what their skill sets are, don't know how to behave in the workplace where they have to work collaboratively and collectively.
See, and the problem that I have with it, he's saying black and brown boys between the ages of 16 and men 25 don't know how to behave in the workplace. I have to tell you, one of the things that we do teach our boys at home is how to respect their elders, how to work collaboratively with others. And so, you know, when I was coming up and working in the workplace, I can't begin to tell you how many privileged white kids that I worked with that didn't know how to collaborate with others. And so it just seems to me that, you know, he's a little tone deaf because of his background when it comes to the community. And while he may be able to beat Trump, because in my view, he's been a Republican, he's been an independent, he needs a vice president that understands the community. If he were to announce Stacey Abrams as his vice presidential pick, he would be able to convince me. And generally, vice presidential picks don't mean a lot to me, but for him, he needs that. So I'm saying it. If he were to announce that kind of pick early on, mm-hmm. I think that would be a winning
pick. Well, as I said the other day.
Oh, joy with joy there. So let's break this down here with Dom. So this guy gets a pass for all this stuff because he has the money. He might beat Trump. All he has to do is put in someone who will be his successor to be the nominee probably the next time around. You got to think something like that. And then he gets a pass. That's what they're suggesting here. It is amazing how desperate they are. And I think you're going to see this play out tomorrow night. Bloomberg is not used to having, and even though we mock it vis-a-vis all the stuff they're saying, the Democrats, how they're killing each other in these debates, he's not used to being challenged on all sides here, okay? So 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210 and we'll get you on board. So he's got to compound this. He gets a pass. He gets to be the presidential candidate that'll be supportive if he just puts an African-American female in there as the VP. Okay, let's see how that plays out. Let's see the baggage I wouldn't say it's quite Eagleton. If you remember George McGovern and Eagleton, that's the all-time worst example. But there's going to be a tremendous amount of baggage there. They think it's just all upside, or that's what they want. This is his way. What does this guy suffer? He gets to be president with all this baggage. How many other white males would be given that privilege to get away with this stuff? All right, 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210 and we'll get you on board. So this is the idea. Announce her early on. Now, none of them have. And I admire Bernie Sanders in this. I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think he's going to be cowed into doing this. Joe Biden has come pretty close to it. Now, tomorrow night, one of them, mark this down, one of them could say, if I get the nomination, I am going to make Stacey Abrams my VP choice. Okay, that could be Joe Biden tomorrow night, digging himself out in South Carolina, might give him a shot. I don't think Bernie Sanders is going to do it. I don't think Mayor Pete is going to do it. Biden, maybe. Side question of the day, and we have that hot Dom Time calendar ready to go to the winner. Sorry, we had a little phone difficulty there. We're back and rolling. If you were getting some kind of signal, jump in right now, 855-839-1210. At the end of your call, hit us with that celebrity that is either aged well or poorly. Your choice around this. And I just told you the, the magic kingdom now for people like the ladies on The View and these others, Bloomberg and the former Senate candidate from Georgia. Oh, my God. This is the type of strategy here. They'll put up with him. All these things they've said. The price is he's got to put her on the ticket. And he's got to announce it early. Could Biden say that tomorrow night? That would be nuts if he beats him to the punch. Remember when Cory Booker was standing there and Beto started speaking in Spanish before Cory Booker could? I don't know. Tomorrow, Nevada, a lot of Latinos. Who's going to speak in Spanish there? Mayor Pete is about the only. I don't know. Does Bloomberg, do we know if Bloomberg speaks Spanish? Or should Bloomberg just hold up money tomorrow night and just hold it up for the nation and say, hey, here's what you're getting? All right, let me go to the callers here. Let's go to Pat in Audubon. Pat, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to comment on the thank you for your service situation.
Yes.
People can say whatever they want. I personally don't thank police and military because 9 out of 10 of them, I don't believe they would do the job if they weren't getting paid. And they're not exactly high paid, but they make more than I do.
Well, wait a minute. That's a slur on cops. Wait a minute. You're saying that they would not do the job unless they were getting paid? You're talking about police officers?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're compensated for the risks they take. And if they suddenly weren't getting paid for their work, I don't think they would continue to do it. So,
the military get paid too. Certainly not enough, but they're getting paid. They're getting compensated too.
Right, but if you look at like World War II or even Vietnam, I mean, those people didn't. They served the country without getting paid exactly for it. I mean, they were fed, but.
Well,
so
look,
I think
as bad as it is,
soldiers,
okay.
They're not volunteers.
Well, yeah, as far as. Cops versus it, the cops are not as much at risk, as much risk as they're at, as the military. That's the biggest thing to me. So as much as I revere cops, you're right that the military, that's why we have primacy with them. You're right on that. I'm just sensitive to this pay thing because, okay, but continue.
No, I see the point. I mean, I can appreciate things that they do, but I don't feel the need to verbally thank them, like in person,
Well, I think maybe you should consider that.
It's case by case for me, depending on what war they're serving in. And, so that's my personal choice.
Okay.
But I will consider it.
Okay. Who's your celebrity?
I would say Jude Law.
Okay.
I think he's very young looking for his age.
Okay. Yeah. Jude Law is a good one. Thank you. I hate to jump on a guy there, but I get a little bit, Look, my point was that as much as I revere cops, the military, there's a reason why. All right. So Dan has dug this up already. Here's another thing you get prediction from the show. Bloomberg then may try to speak in Spanish tomorrow night. Here's his attempt.
After this, you might not think he's going to want to try.
Here's his attempt to speak Spanish.
Por favor, empieza a movilizarse. Es muy peligroso quedarse en esta área y estará violando la ley. Por favor, protejanse y tome precauciones.
What's he saying there?
This is after Hurricane Sandy.
Yes.
He was telling all the citizens that speak Spanish in his city that they will be safe and okay.
Well, he had a pretty good flow there, I got to say.
But it's clear that he's reading it. He doesn't actually know Spanish. His pronunciation's horrible. I pulled this from a local news source in New York, and you heard that even the anchor couldn't hold her laughter when he was trying. She laughs about halfway through. And it's,
I thought he was saying it extemporaneously. I was going to say, you know, that's pretty good flow.
Grosso, quedarse en esta área y estará violando la ley, por favor.
Saying por favor an awful lot there, you know what I mean? All right, so you don't think we're going to hear the great man doing Spanish?
I think this was a written statement that he was just trying his hardest to read with a Spanish accent.
All right, so I can't get enough. I got to say. Out of this race, we have to admit, Bloomberg is the most fascinating element of this race. It's almost as fascinating as Trump getting into politics about will this work, this strategy of just buying. You understand, it's not the ads per se. It's all the infrastructure of all these ministers and these other politicos and all that stuff. He is going to get roasted tomorrow night. That's what I think is going to happen. All right, let me go to Pat in Swarthmore here. Pat's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Pat.
Hello, Mr. Dom.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, Pat.
I just wanted to say that one way that the presidency is guaranteed for Donald Trump for the next election is talk about open borders.
Yes,
and
he will.
I think all of the cons against open borders, and I think that'll win in one of the things.
Oh, it is big. And as far as the wall, Jorge Ramos, right, who is the big opponent of Trump, the Hispanic pundit, he just said the other day on TV that Trump has won the border crisis, that Mexico is now the wall. And to your point, tomorrow I'll read a little bit of what he said. In other words, Mexico has effectively turned into an extension of Trump's immigration policy beyond American
beautiful.
Territory. You know what? You raised such a good point. I got to see if we can get the audio of that to play that, because that makes the point of those. And you know, Pat, they don't get it. I think the average Trump supporters knows that Trump is moving heaven and earth to try to get more wall built. He's doing anything imaginable around
the
clock. Nothing would. He hasn't just said that to say it. He's moving everything. And it just shows you how hard this is to do. And as far as somebody who knows urgency, I sense urgency with this guy.
Yeah, he's doing it. He's a can-do guy. But just to repeat myself, I think one of the big factors to have President Trump reelected again is talk about open borders and the cons that open borders bring.
Right, and Bloomberg is a big open borders guy. Who has aged poorly or well for you?
Arnold Schwarzenegger has badly aged, and I don't like the man myself.
I would say that's true. All right, lightning round. At the end of your call, we'll get in as many people as we can, 855-839-1210. And I have somebody here who says the Boy Scouts are going to make a comeback. Wow.
And if we can fit it in today, Dom, I also got a speech of Michael Bloomberg at the Nathan's Hot Dog Festival.
We gotta fit that in. Yes, yes, yes.
But no drinks, no big gulps here.
We need more time. Rush, step aside for a half hour here. Dom time on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all.
All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.